Now may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. You may be seated. Father Dennis Smith of Scotland talks about a famous island in that country named Arran, which lies in the Firth of Clyde. It became the place where one of our greatest hymns in the church was written. Seems you get to Arran nowadays by McBrain's car ferry from the small and now rather sadly decayed seaport of Ardrossan. But over a century ago, the minister of St. John's Church, Ardrossan, invited a fellow minister, the well-named scholar and poet, Dr. Chalmers Smith, to come and preach at a very special service there. In his invitation, he emphasized the splendor of the view of this place, Arran, from the manse windows. But on the evening of Dr. Chalmers' arrival, however, Arran was obscured by a torrential rain. Kind of can identify with that today. The following morning dawned bright and sunny, but Arran was still obscured, this time by a thick shining mist or fog that was around it. And as Dr. Chalmers Smith sat in his room and reflected on this experience, he realized that what had happened was rather like his awareness of God. He knew Arran existed. It was there, but it was hidden from him. It was his faith that God existed and was also hidden from him. So he took out a pen and paper and he wrote the well-known hymn, which we often sing during the season of Trinity, "Immortal, invisible, God only wise, in light inaccessible, hid from our eyes, thy justice like mountains high soaring above, thy clouds which are fountains of goodness and love, all laud we would render, oh help us to see, 'tis only the splendor of light hideth thee." That last line, "light hideth thee," picks up on a profound biblical teaching called the hiddenness of God. The message of the hiddenness of God meets us on Passion Sunday, the fifth Sunday in Lent, in our gospel reading, which is from the eighth chapter of the gospel according to St. John. The passage ends with the very sobering words, last line in John 8, "And Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple." For this reason, the tradition in the church is to veil the crosses beginning this day, the last 2 weeks of Lent, Passion Week and Holy Week. The hiddenness of God appears, therefore, in two ways in our passage today. First, the hiddenness of God appears in the way the radiance of God's light allows certain ones to see and others to be blinded by that light and not see. The context of our passage is, in John 8, the healing of a blind man. And it is in this context that Jesus reveals himself as the light of the world. He says in the verses just before our passage, "He who follows me will not walk in darkness, but he will have the light of life." Thus the verbs for see and appear are all through this John 8 passage. And when the blindness of the Pharisees challenged Jesus, he reminds them that he spoke what he had seen from his father. They thought he was talking about Abraham, their Jewish father. There's an exchange about Abraham. The Pharisees conclude that Abraham is dead and has nothing to do with what Jesus is talking about. And then Jesus says, "Abraham rejoiced to see," there's that word, "to see my day. And he saw it," there's that verb again, "and was glad," verse 56. Now they're truly confused at this point. They argue that Jesus is not yet 50 years old, so how could he have possibly seen Abraham? And then the Lord makes the astounding statement. Before Abraham was, I am. Well, they then begin to pick up stones to try and kill Jesus because his statement claimed to be God. And thus juxtaposed is their blindness that God is hidden to them, standing right in front of them. And his light, ineffable light. The light of God was so bright, staring them in the face, that they were blinded and they rejected him. It's possible. For some, God is so near, they're blinded and they don't see him. It's nothing to do with God. The light is shining right in their face and they don't see. The famous 17th century advocate of Christianity, Blaise Pascal, was known for this famous statement. He said, "A religion which does not affirm that God is hidden is not true." What did he mean by that? For Pascal, only the biblical God is so vast and so transcendent and so potent that ironically, humans can't see him because of their sin. Well, the brightness of God's light was so bright before the Pharisees, they couldn't see the Messiah right before them. And so it is with us. God is so bright in revealing himself. We sometimes say he's not there. We don't see him. He's hidden. Which leads us to the second aspect of the hiddenness of God in our passage. It's the presence of evil in our passage that brings about the effect of the hiddenness of God. It's not God, it's the evil in the world that conceals the reality and the presence of God. That Rector Dennis Smith says, quote, "Notice that in time of acute suffering, we humans have our most difficult time seeing God." Right? Evil blurs the light with its darkness. And then he quotes a famous Anglican Archbishop of Canterbury, Arthur Michael Ramsay. When he was Archbishop, he had a way of answering people who often asked the question, "How does a good God allow so much suffering and hardship in the world?" It's called the problem of evil. The Archbishop would explain, but he turned the question on its head and he would say, well, how can there be so much good if there's no God? Where does the good come from? The goodness of God endureth yet daily. It is his goodness which lasts, and so we can be surprised by the good and how much of it there is and not just scandalized by the bad. Well, we see profound evil in our passage when the Pharisees accuse Jesus of being a devil. Doesn't get much worse than that or more wrong than that. And they even attempt to stone him. And yet at the same time, we see the profound good, that last of which Archbishop Ramsay spoke in our passage. Jesus hides himself to prevent prematurely being put to death. Because he must go to Golgotha. He cannot let them put him to death at this point. And so he has to hide himself and he steals away from them. So the Lord with us prevents us by his grace from being blinded by evil. It's grace that allows us to see the goodness of God, even in difficult times. And yet in Jesus hiding, he's still reveals his glory, and this is the message of the cross. This is the story of the incarnation. So profound is the presence of Christ that even in his hiding, his glory is manifested in the darkest of moments. So there was a Danish theologian named Soren Kierkegaard, who loved to tell a story of the incarnation as this hiddenness of God to reveal his love. And this is the story with which I conclude. Once upon a time, there was a king who longed to marry. And one day, as he was riding through his kingdom, he happened to see a very beautiful young lady in a poor section of the kingdom. And he was struck by her beauty. So he found reasons to travel through that village more often, even getting the chance to speak to her on occasion. And as time went by, he realized that he wanted to pursue a relationship with this beautiful woman, but how would he go about it? As king, he could have her brought to the palace so that he could court her or even propose marriage immediately. It would be very hard for her to refuse the king, but he did not want her to take him out of power, but out of love. So he dressed as a peasant in order to get to know her, hiding his true identity. He gave up his station as king and moved into her neighborhood as a regular citizen. And